folks up to the table. Thank you. One is Joe Vanderveer, who has also been on the Disabled Parking Task Force for the last, as Lisa said, almost 6 years. And then the other is Suzanne Stahl, who is a member of the Portland Commission on Disability and also the chair of the Accessibility and Built Environment Subcommittee, who is really our main group that we kept going back to when creating the task force recommendations. So Sue has been really instrumental in putting together these recommendations. So with that, turn it over to you, Joe.
I'm Joe Vanderveer, and I've been on the Disabled Parking Task Force since 2008, and I'm the chair of the Disability Commission for the city. As an advisory body charged with representing all Portlanders with disabilities, our commission has struggled with the pending implementation of SB 716 more than any other issue that's come before us. This law divides people with disabilities into two groups, those who use mobility devices and those who don't. And we are ideologically opposed as a commission to the disparate treatment that this law prescribes. We would strongly prefer to see all people with disabilities treated equally. However, we also respect the city's need to manage its on-street parking resources. And we realize that the city is bound by the provisions of SB 716 in fulfilling that obligation. If implemented as written, there is little question that the on-street parking accommodation changes specified by SB 716 would negatively impact the ability of people with disabilities to participate fully in our community. We appreciate the extensive work that went into this resolution to mitigate the impact of implementing SB 716, and we commend the Disabled Parking Task Force, Commissioner Novick's office, and PBOT staff for their efforts to develop ways of maintaining the accommodation for those most affected by these changes. The Commission on Disability regrets that it has become necessary for the city to make such changes to its parking accommodation policy, but since we also feel that the city has acted in good faith to preserve the accommodation as originally intended, we support this resolution as a reasonable path forward where no perfect solution exists. We welcome the opportunity to continue to work with council and PBOT staff as this resolution is implemented to monitor its impact and make further changes as needed to ensure the continued full inclusion of people with disabilities in our city.
Thank you.
Okay. Before I start, I feel I need to address Steve's comment that disabled parking is a historical accident. I believe that disabled parking does have a purpose and it is no accident. With that being said, my name is Suzanne Stahl, and I'm a commissioner for the Portland Commission on Disability and chair of the subcommittee Accessibility in the Built Environment. I have worked extensively with PBOT on the creation and review of this program, but today I want to speak to you as an individual. I have a mobility handicap and have enjoyed parking for free in the Meter District downtown. When I first heard about the changes involving the Disabled Placard Parking Program, I was up in arms. How dare Portland take away my privilege to park for free? I am on SSDI and on a fixed income, and I cannot walk long distances, which limits my parking choices. I felt that the city was unfairly taking advantage of me in my situation. Then I heard stories and observations about people blatantly misusing disabled parking placards. People that are perfectly mobile would park on the street, hang the placard, and then run into the office or store. I have heard of marathon runners who, after the race, get in their car, take their parking placard down, and drive away. These are people that would usually park on the street longer than the time allowed, rather than using parking garage or public transportation. their misuse is taking away parking that I need, parking that is close to the stores and the offices I need to get to. Then I started thinking, it's not the city that is taking advantage of me and my situation, it's these people. The plan that Peabot has created does not limit my choices, it expands them. Not only will it discourage misuse of placards, it will keep street parking rotating at a reasonable pace. This plan will also make sure that there is more disabled parking where it is needed by reserving spaces and offering permits. I am excited to see how closely Peabot has worked with the disability community and listened to concerns. And I look forward to working with the city to ensure this plan is a win-win for all parties involved. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sam.
Okay, so do you have another invited testimony, or then it's just open to public testimony at this point? Okay. Thank you all
Thank
very
you
much.
Thank you so much, Sarah. Thank you, Joe.
We have some others signed up, Carl?
Yes, we have six other people signed up. The first three, please come on up, are Fran Gardner, Chuck Freyer, I believe is the last name, and Bernie Bottomley.
Good afternoon. Welcome. You bet. Go right ahead. Yes, it is. I think it is. Hang on a second. Now it is.
Good afternoon, commissioners. My name is Fran Gardner. I apologize that I don't have prepared remarks, and I'm afraid I might be a little bit. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. I might be a little bit, dispersed in my comments. I have primary progressive MS and have had it since the mid-90s, and I don't fall into the wheelchair placard category because I'm not disabled enough. However, I do have quite a bit of trouble parking. And the idea that you can park close to City Hall is, you know, I don't think the problem is placard holders. I think it's all those police cars. I didn't see a lot of handicapped placards. I'm parked five blocks away uphill, and I'm probably going to have to call my husband to come give me a ride back to my car. I wanted to make a comment about the history of this program. I think we're actually going backwards in time a little bit. When the ADA went into effect, the city of Portland created a whole bunch of disabled spots that were dedicated for disabled people. There was like one per block or one per block face. I can't remember exactly. And they went largely unused. And in the whole idea of adding the parking, free parking permits, I think was to make that more flexible. And so now we're going back to, it sounds like we may end up having a lot of spaces that don't have anybody in them. And it tends to make drivers who aren't disabled a little bit irritable. I also wanted to just mention as an aside that I actually got a ticket in Arlington, Virginia a couple of years ago because I just assumed that because Portland's program works so well for me that everybody who had disabled parking spots had the same program. I parked in a disabled spot, didn't plug the meter, and got a $30 ticket. So, I understand, you know, the issues of people not being able to park. When I was employed, I worked for 34 years for what used to be the Oregonian. This program was extremely helpful for me, and I did want to give credit to Commissioner Fritz for pointing out that the cost of this program, even for somebody who's employed, is going to be more than most employers set aside. Is that my time being
No,
up?
You've got a little more. Go ahead.
Getting up. It's more than most employers are presenting to help people with their commute. It is virtually impossible for somebody in my condition to ride TriMet because everybody has to stand up to let me, if I ride my scooter, to let me turn my scooter around. So, and then I think, well, the last thing I wanted to mention is that, if we're writing at 700, I mean, 186 citations for $720, that's nearly $800,000 if I've done my math right. So it is, you know, it's not like this is costing the city as much as maybe as you think it does. And then I guess the last thing I wanted to say is that I think the problem is that, people are using the permits, and we have a lot of people parking downtown all day who shouldn't be. But it's kind of punitive for those of us who actually do have mobility issues to be having to pay as much, especially if you're somebody who works downtown full time. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm Chuck Freyer. I live over in Vancouver. So I'm a person who works right over in the Edith Green building right now then. And I am an accessibility, I hate to use the word expert because that means I know a little bit more than others. But I was in a car accident in 1970, and so I've been around since before the invention of curb cuts. And so I want to take you and let you think about something a little bit differently. My world is universal design, and looking at, and as a matter of fact, I was on a commission for the Americans with Disabilities Act way before it was even, it got started. I happened to be working back in D.C. at the time for the U.S. Forest Service, and I was asked to be on this commission. And so, as a designer, I always go back to expectation. If you're charging for something, then there's an expectation of what you're getting for that money. Now then, as a person who sits in a wheelchair, I want to make sure that when I'm paying that money, that I'm going to be able to get from point A to point B. Now then, that means also that the parking space has to go and meet, for you to call it a disabled parking, it has to meet certain guidelines and standards, design. It also means that you have to have an access route from point A to point B. Now then, that takes us around to grade, what the steepness of the access route is from wherever the disabled parking space is, to wherever you're going. That includes curb cuts. So you can see where I'm going with this. Not too many places in this town can you find, also in the design of where a designed parking, disabled parking is, it cannot be any more than 2% one way or the other. I'll put lots of money down that you can't find something like that in this town. Okay, now then, all I'm talking about is starting to open up a huge, huge legal can of worms. And I'm just bringing this up for you to think about, because I haven't heard anything about that. And this whole deal of being able, of an expectation of paying for something, think about it. You pay for something, there's an expectation that comes along with that. And with that, then, my gollies, I better be able to go and get from point A to point B, or else I am not going to be a happy camper. And therefore, you know what happens with happy campers. And so I'm just bringing that up for you to really think about, because I haven't heard anything about all of this. This is a wonderful concept, and I would I would label it as a pilot program. I wouldn't, you know, because you got lots and lots, all I heard was lots of unknowns. And this is a very complicated, lots of pieces and parts to this program that you're talking about. Who goes what? I wouldn't know, living in Vancouver, what to even go and do. I wouldn't know. So, thank you. I just wanted to come over to cross over here and see what this is really all about. Great.
Thank you. Thanks. Appreciate that. Hope you like that remodeled building. It looks pretty good from here. It's another story, huh?
Yeah. We'll talk about that later.
Okay. That'd be interesting. Thank you.
As someone who worked in that building more than 20 years ago, I can tell you any change would be an improvement. Mayor Hales, members of the council, Bernie Bottomley with the Portland Business Alliance. I just want to add my endorsement of this change to those that have come before, and also my appreciation for Commissioner Novick and his work on this. As the members of the Disabled Parking Task Force have mentioned more than one time, it has been a long slog, and I want to compliment them. It's been a difficult conversation, as you can hear from just the description of the program and the issues that are raised. It's not an easy equation to solve for. I spent a year in a previous life writing the Elderly and Disabled Transportation Plan for TriMet, and so I understand just how difficult it is, because it's hard to imagine when you're putting together an ordinance or a rule that's meant to apply to everyone what every individual circumstance is likely to be for each person and different levels of ability that they might have. That said, I think this is a great start and a tremendous effort to try to address as many of the issues as you can when you're, you know, writing a rule that applies to everyone. I think the fundamental issue, and Commissioner Novick touched on this, is that right now the differential between what you pay if you are paying full freight to park in downtown and what you can do as a holder of a disabled placard is so great that there's just too much of an incentive to try to tweak the system to get around the corners of that system. And what the research has shown is that in other cities, when you put a price on that, what's free now, it really changes the dynamic. Doesn't solve every particular individual circumstance, but it really does change that dynamic to one where you're really getting folks to think about, okay, is this the way that I want to approach it, or is there a different way to approach it? And I think it really does take those folks who are, if not outright abusing the system, then at least mushing around the edges, takes them out of the equation. And it frees up those spaces, not just for folks who are retail customers, but it frees up those spaces for folks who have disabilities and are trying to get to the retail establishments downtown as well. So we're fully in support and appreciate all the work that has been done on this. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Okay. The last three who signed up are Tamara Kennedy Hill, Richard L. Koenig, and David Miller.
Yeah. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Hi.
Okay, Tamara, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Mayor Hills, Commissioners. I'm Tamara Kennedy Hill with Travel Portland. I'm also here representing the Downtown Marketing Initiative, focusing on downtown vitality. Mostly, we're here to support the proposal being presented and just add a little bit to what Lisa Fritch's testimony has. The Downtown Marketing Initiative recently did a survey pre-holiday around people that are coming into the downtown area, and one of the things they found was the number one deterrent for those coming into downtown for non-work reasons was the lack of parking availability. So we want, of course, downtown to bring vibrant traction for Oregonians and visitors, as well as provide access for those that need parking. We support the recommendations in the proposal from the task force. We feel that the recommendations will allow people that need access to street parking. Wheelchair placards will ensure those that who need access most will have access to those. as well as provide a more equitable solution. We feel this proposal does that, and we also want to support any communication for outside visitors coming in on whatever regulations are or solutions are addressed. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that offer.
Thanks.
Good afternoon. My name is Richard L. Koenig. I've been in front of you folks before. Is there fraud in disabled parking? That's an excellent question, Commissioner. I wish to give thanks to the task force on their 6 years of working on this project. With that said, though, I'd like to know whether they were fully informed, because agreements that are made without all the facts on the table are problematic. I'd like to ask Sarah Schooley, is that you? Whether the task force members were fully informed of the following. And I'm urging everybody here to take just the notes, just the part that involves the numbers. Here's the first number, OAR, Oregon Administrative Rule 735-016-0020, subsection 7. That one says operating motor vehicles means, or operating motor vehicles in Oregon means, physically operating vehicles for business purposes. Did the task force become informed of ORS 801.305? That was a bill that was reenacted into law in 2007 that defined highways as open to the public, including disabled members of the public, as a matter of right, R-I-G-H-T. Were the task force members informed of ORS 803.040? If this state has issued title, the vehicle shall remain titled and subject to all of the provisions of the vehicle code. If this state, that means a lot of times they are, but frequently they're not titled. Did the task force become informed of the legislative finding that's made under the authority of cities at ORS 221.485? Cities are delegated the regulation of for-hire vehicles, for-hire vehicles, and the owners and operators thereof. And there is no other power of the city to regulate vehicles, by the way. The city of Portland's ordinance that supports this line in the state law. Can I take the time to
just try to sum up? Because
right, I got three Portland city ordinances here. Title 16-20-550, travel lane parking permit. In that, it describes the protected class as being for the protection of the public. Under Title 16-20.560, it describes the regulated class, the firm, or similarly situated individuals. And then at 16.20.012, this is the key language. This is the key language. It says, except as specifically directed by the authority of this state or this title, or when necessary to avoid conflict with other traffic, it is unlawful to park or stop a vehicle that is required by state law to be registered that is not registered. That means that there are a lot of vehicles that don't have to be registered, and they belong to the public, whether we are or are not disabled. And I really recommend that the task force get involved in the legislative process and put together a bill that provides for specific relief for disabled public members. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Councilwoman, Councilman. I'm David Miller. I am the Government Relations Director for Oregon's Paralyzed Veterans of America. I also am a member of the United Veterans Groups of Oregon. I just will let you know that those members are, real quickly, because I've got a few things to discuss, the Air Force Sergeants Association, the American Ex-Prisoners of War, the American Legion, the AMVETS, Disabled Americans Veterans, the Korean War Veterans, the Marine Corps League, the Military Order of the Purple Heart, the Non-Commissioned Officers Association, the OPVA, the Veterans of Foreign Wars. I always forget the last one. You see, I have to keep them written down. The Vietnam Veterans, forget those. Vietnam Veterans of America. Those are the groups of UVGO. I got an email from Sarah, and it was a bypass through Shoshana, because the Commissioner Novick was inquiring if the word could get out and some information got to the different groups that would possibly be affected. Well, everybody knows that what goes on basically in Portland, the rest of the state follows. Everybody's kind of watching to see how Portland handles this parking issue. And I don't have the time today to go through everything, but as a collective and living downtown myself and living in a permitted area up by the ballpark, when there's a ball game, our street parking rates go up. Then, you know, we're talking about another cost going up. So a ball game to park for over 3 hours could be quite expensive if you're in that district of town. So I don't know how that affects other districts of town. I'm just sharing what that would be to me if I was parking on the street. The parking signs, if you would, that would be disabled, then wheelchair user, and then van user or van accessible. Those three are confusing to even me. You know, where do I park? But the information I was getting back when I put this email out to the group, asking for their input, the main questions one of the main requests was that if this was to happen, that the wheelchair loading areas, as in ORS, I'm not going to go through the pages of the ORS statute and stuff here that I have here. I'll leave that with the clerk and let her send that to you all. But of having the unobscured dropping of the lift to where, you know, you might have the space, but you could have a light pole, you could have newspaper stands, you could have whatever there, but to park closest to the curb cut would be pretty much the corners of every street in the downtown area was what was suggested. But that seems to be the most cluttered areas in downtown as well. It's understood by everybody in the group that participated in responding that it is something that needs to be addressed, and many are business people with disabilities as well, and they understand the need to have that turnover for the revenue as well as the city turnover revenue for parking. The issues right now as they stand, as I'm not sure the gentleman who said it would be an idea for this to be a pilot program to build from is pretty much what was understood amongst the group in discussion, that this would be more better addressed as a study project or a pilot project than to put it in something that is etched in stone and then let's try to fix it as you go along. You know, it's just for a full review, because I reviewed the 2009 group that many of these folks sat on with the Parking Task Force. And I was reading through here, and there were some really excellent, you know, suggestions by the group that never have transpired, as far as I'm aware. It was split to a minority and a majority group of opinion, and many of these things that I think would have answered a lot of the questions here today, if some of these would have been, you know, looked at and studied then, I don't think you'd have that big of a problem. There's some really good ideas the group put forth. I just think that maybe, you know, when you have a study group and, you have a study group and a task force, you know, really take heed of what these folks are saying, because there's some really good stuff right in here. And I'm going to leave this with the clerk, and there's some issues with the ORS that are a little bit more beyond just the obstructions of the curb cuts that were addressed, that were selected and picked out, that I'll leave with the clerk for you all to.
Great. Thank you very much. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Appreciate you coming, all three. Thanks. We have others signed
That's
up?
That's all who signed up.
Anyone else that wants to speak on this item?
Commissioner Novick, can I just, since we're doing council discussion now very briefly, in light of that testimony and the provision in the proposal that has the 50 designated spaces, mm-hmm. what I would urge, as you identify those spots, we do have a number of programs and specific facilities within the areas that you're covering that do serve veterans,
mm-hmm.
the Veterans Service Center in Old Town Chinatown, some programs that serve, I believe, some disabled veterans. So I think what we've received is an opportunity to identify some specific areas where disabled vets use services as a guidepost for where we do some designated spots.
Exactly.
And I'm assuming you're going to work with the Commission on Disability to identify the best places?
Absolutely.
I appreciate the testimony.
Okay. Other questions or council discussion before we vote on the resolution?
I'd like to propose my friendly amendment, and that is to change the last "be it further resolved" instead of at the end saying that the report will be back to in July of 2015, to change it to by September 30th of 2015.
That work?
Sarah, I think that's okay.
That's 2014?
2015. 2015. It's what it says. So it's a year after. This is the last year. Be it therefore resolved, and it talks about having community input into the report. So first you need a year's data, then you need to get any time to assemble that and
an opportunity for September the commission to. So you have a year's elapsed time and then some time to study it.
They have a year, and then 3 months later you bring the report to council.
Okay, I see that. Sounds like that's acceptable, and that will be changed in the text of the resolution, and that will be the timetable we operate on. Okay, thank you. Roll call, please.
For a second.
Second.
Novick?
This is on the
roll call on the amendment.
Right.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. And then on the resolution itself.
Novick?
I really appreciate everybody's testimony today. I really appreciate the work of the members of the task force. I really appreciate Sarah Schooley's work on this issue. I appreciate the work of the members of the Commission on Disabilities. And I'm just, I mean, as we said, there's no perfect answer to these issues. This is going to be a little clunky. What I am satisfied is that we've done as much as any other city has to think of all the possibilities and be as fair as possible to as many people as possible. So I very much appreciate the council's willingness to entertain this somewhat innovative proposal, and I vote aye.
Fritz.
When I first heard about this, I was went through the same stages as Suzanne Schooley did. This is awful, and then got to this is wonderful. And I really appreciate the work of the Commission on Disability. Your endorsement was the turning point for me. And Commissioner Novick, you have succeeded where others, many others, have tried and not done so. This is a, in a sense, a pilot project, so we'll be able to see how it works. You and your staff have been able to answer every one of my questions and those that I've seen from the community. As was noted, not everybody is going to be entirely happy, but I think it's a way to move forward and to address the problem that was identified of people who aren't suffering from a disability or needing to use the placard, using those spaces and stopping people from who need them from parking there. So thanks to PBOT staff as well. Aye.
Fish?
We've had a long week of council proceedings, and I've now discerned a common theme in all the work we've been doing, which is people have come before us and said, in essence, the solution's not perfect, but it is represents substantial progress, and then we will monitor to see how we can enhance it over time. And I think increasingly, by the way, that's something that happens a lot in Portland. I'm beginning to wonder whether that actually happens functionally in Washington, D.C. But if this was an easy issue, this would have been resolved earlier than 6 years. And I, too, want to thank Commissioner Novick for actually, he's only been the commissioner in charge now for less than 6 months, for 5 months, 4 months and a half.
Yeah. Five and a half.
Five and a half months.
Sold.
What took so long, Steve? 5.5 months to figure out this problem? But you've, I think, crafted a very thoughtful solution to a very complicated problem. You've made it clear that this is, in effect, a pilot, or that we're going to come back and monitor and modify as necessary. So thank you for your leadership. Thanks to the task force and the commission and everyone who testified today. And I'm very pleased that we're able to make progress on a complicated and challenging and heavily regulated area, which is probably why there's been so much difficulty nationally finding the right balance. And I think, Commissioner Novick, you may have found that balance. So thank you. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I, too, want to thank Commissioner Novick for his leadership. I think this has been too long in coming. I mean, anybody who works downtown can simply walk down major streets and see the blocks filled with disabled placards and wonder what's really going on here. And I think, you know, with few exceptions, there's too much gaming of the system going on here, and this will end that, and that's a good thing. And it's really a lot of good work here, a lot of good balancing, but I think that's overall, over and above what this is about, is making sure that people who don't need disabled placards are paying for parking. So thank you. Aye.
Hales.
Bravo. This is an intractable problem that's been around for a while. So thank you, Commissioner Novick, for your leadership, and PBOT for great work working with the disability community and with your own task force, patiently coming up with a creative solution to a really intractable set of problems. So as has been said by the members of the council, this is progress in a difficult situation where we do need to make sure that it works in practice. I have no doubt that that will be the case under this same team's careful supervision. Thank you. Aye.
Yeah, and
we'll take the second item, which is just an emergency ordinance roll call.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
I really like it when I'm early in the voting order and we have two things to vote on, because then I can add the very important people in my second set of thanks that I should have thanked in the first set. And that includes Nicole Sharon in the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, Patrick Philpott, who helps staff the Office of Equity and Human Rights Disability Commission work, and Sarah Hussein in my office, who's no longer in my office. She's now with the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, but who worked on this in a previous iteration. Aye.
Fish?
Well, let me also add Sarah Schooley for an outstanding presentation, very clear, and this is not an uncomplicated issue. So thank you for the clarity and the work on your presentation and your team. Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Now, we're going to take a momentary break, but before we do, it's particularly fitting that we have representatives of the disability community and our transportation director and some smart growth advocates in the room, because I'd like to take a moment of mayoral privilege, if I might, and an planned and unofficial special order of business, send the City of Portland's commendation to the City of Cincinnati. And here's why. Cincinnati, like a lot of other cities, has come to Portland over the years to study what we've done in terms of smart growth and transportation. Quite a few of those cities have gone back home and tried to do things differently. They're building mixed-use development in Salt Lake City, of all places, because some people came to Portland and got some good ideas and some inspiration. And Cincinnati has struggled for some years to build a streetcar project. You really wouldn't believe the trials and tribulations that this project's been through. It was subject to a citywide vote that would have prohibited the City of Cincinnati from spending a dime on rail anyhow, anywhere, with a coalition supporting the measure that you wouldn't believe, which consisted of Libertarian Party and the NAACP. Try to wrap your head around that. Fortunately, that failed. A governor got elected who didn't like rail transportation and pulled the state funding out of the project. And then most recently, they elected a new mayor who campaigned against the project and threatened to pull all the funding. This afternoon was the federal deadline for the City of Cincinnati to say to fish or cut bait. And by a 6-5 vote, 2 hours before the deadline, the City Council approved it going forward. So I would like to say from the City of Portland to the City of Cincinnati, one, we commend you for moving forward. Two, we applaud your citizen activists for keeping a good idea alive under fire for a very long time and working for a better future for your community. And we'd like to send you a holiday welcome and greeting from the City of Portland, welcoming you into the family of streetcar cities. So here, let's hear it for Cincinnati. Thank you. We'll take a brief recess.
Send a text to go send
yeah, I am. Sending him a text. We'll take a brief recess and come back for our final item. Yeah, that thing's been like the seven labors of Hercules. You wouldn't believe what they've been through.